All right, if you have your Bibles, if you would meet me in the book of Psalm chapter 121. As you know, the book of Psalms is the psalm book of Israel. These were songs that the Israelis would sing, the Jewish people would sing. And when you get to Psalm 121, if you have a study Bible, you'll see sort of like on the top of it introducing the chapter, it'll be something like the Song of Degree or Psalm of Ascension. And the reason why that phrase is there in your study Bibles is that the Jewish people would sing 15 psalms as they're walking up the steps to the temple. There's 15 steps to the top of the temple, and so they would sing each one of these songs on each one of the steps. So the songs of degree or songs of ascension that they would sing. This is the second of the 15 that they would sing. And I want to preach to you on the subject this morning. Keep looking up. Keep looking up. And if you would, to follow with me as we read this psalm, and then we'll unpack a little bit of this and get into the lesson this morning. Psalm 123. Did I have you in chapter 21? 123. I do apologize. There is another psalm which is incredible, 121, but 123 is where we'll be today. Unto thee lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress. So our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud. We'll stop there. And if you would pray with me and for me, as we look at this morning. Father, we love you. We are truly thankful that we have a church that we can come to today. And Lord, I do pray as we are here in the last part of this dispensation of the church. And we're here, we're anticipating your return. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to keep looking up. That Lord, we would occupy till you come. And so I pray you bless the church today. Thank you for those that have gathered and come from all over the county, even beyond the county, to get here today. And I pray that you would be glorified. If there's anyone here today that's not saved, that they would accept Christ as their Savior before it's eternally too late. So guide us to truth today. Loosen my lips, Lord, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And tomorrow is a very interesting time in the American history, if you would. Hundreds and maybe even thousands of people will be coming to the state of Ohio, Indiana, and likely up into Maine, upstate New York. And they're going to be viewing a very rare total solar eclipse. Around 3:30 tomorrow, the moon will traverse over the sun's light and cast an eerie shadow over Hancock County here in Findlay. And that sudden darkness will cause a sort of a temperature drop. Some estimate between 20 and 30 degrees. They say watch your animals and see the animals' reactions to this event. But it's interesting, as that happens, you'll likely and could likely be able to see something very rare, which is the Devil's Comet that will be visible in the northern hemisphere. And so it's an interesting phrase. I started researching the Devil's Comet, and that's weird. An interesting, if you would, principle is that if you block out the sun, you see the devil. Amen. Or you take out the light, you see the darkness. And or you take out the church, you get the tribulation period. But that's interesting. At the very moment that that gets blacked out, the Devil's Comet could be, through a set of binoculars, viewable, which is a green sort of comet. Very interesting phenomenon also. And what is also interesting is that the event is preceded by two very rare earthquakes that took place in New York and New Jersey this very week, which are very low in terms of how the seismic activity goes. It's just not a very often event, every 100 or 150 years. And so when you look at what's happening here tomorrow, coming over the United States, starting in the south, western United States and going all the way up into the northeast, it's interesting that it's also pending all of the events here. There's a pending and likely even erupting war between Israel and Iran. I don't know if you've been watching that, but that is starting to brew. Of course, the Shabbat was yesterday. They're in Ramadan here on the Muslim side. But it's likely going to happen within the next week. There's also an ongoing escalation and an escalation of war between Russia and Ukraine. And then also Poland and Belarus. Okay, so we are in a Matthew 24 time where it says there's wars and rumors of wars. Just a few years ago, there wasn't really a notable war in the world. But today, there are several, and many are even rumored to happen as early as this week. Embassies in foreign countries were being evacuated on Friday. Massive amounts of military equipment left the United States of America on Thursday or Friday, to go on the water, waiting for likely an escalation of war either in Europe or in the Middle East. And so when you look at this eclipse, it's coming tomorrow, is coming 7 years after the former eclipse that traversed from the southeast of our country to the northwest of our nation. And this would have complete an X, if you would, from the southwest over to the northeast. And it's interesting as you see this, the Gospel of Luke, I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but in verse number 21, it says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon." And so when we're seeing all these happenstances, these things that are taking place, and it's interesting how many Salems the first eclipse traveled across in the first one in 2017, 7 years ago. And the word Salem means peace. And some Bible, I guess, studiers are thinking, and I'm not disagreeing with them, that God was saying to this nation, you have 7 more years of peace with the traversing of those 7 cities called Salem in the first 2017 eclipse, which is interesting. Salem, peace. Remember the king of Salem, who was a precarnation appearance of Christ, incarnation appearance of Christ. Salem, the king of Salem, Abraham met him. And he, of course, came from Salem, which means peace. Jerusalem, city of peace. And Salem, all the way across our nation, cities were named Salem. Salem, Salem, peace, peace. How many more years? Maybe 7. And this is, of course, coming in the 7th year of that first eclipse. All of this, I don't know what it means. All I do know is that if it's causing you to get right with God, then you better get right with God. Amen. I remember getting out of the military when I was just 22 years of age, and I Kuwait and all the invasion of Kuwait and all that happened. Well, that perked me up. Brother Carter began to preach on earthquakes and all the things that we preach on today and how closer we are to the rapture of the church than we were then. It got my attention. It got my attention. So this likely is one of those events that sort of wakes some people up and gets them ready for what is coming. But tomorrow, most people that are coming into Hancock County and, of course, Ohio will be coming to look up. Millions will be looking up. Millions upon millions upon millions of people across the line of darkness will be there lined up if there's no clouds looking up. But the Bible has a lot to say about another event. That's very rare. In fact, it only happens one time. And that event will shake the world. That event also will change the world. And after that event that takes place, it will usher in a one world leader. It will usher in a one world religion and a one world government and a one world global currency when that event takes place. And that event we call the rapture, the snatching away, the calling away out of the book of 2 Thessalonians. In fact, the Bible says in Titus chapter 2, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself that he might redeem us from iniquity and purify into himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." Ladies and gentlemen, as a church today, we're anticipating the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the biggest event for the church. We're excited about it. We preach about it. We are seeing the times, seeing the signs that are leading into this very, very rare event that only happens one time. Actually, if you want to look at the second time, the first time he came as a humble servant, robed himself in flesh and was born in a manger. The second time he comes, he's coming as a conquering king. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity to even be here at this time in human history, living really in Bible times. We don't have to go back 2,000 years ago to live in Bible times. We're living in it. We're seeing it every day we wake up. In fact, Colossians 3 says, "If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." So I'm saying, church, I'm saying those that are watching online, if you're saved today, you ought to be keep looking up. Look up. Look up to your Savior. Look up to your God. Look up to the redemption of your soul and the catching away or the snatching away of the church. And so when you look at this, the Bible makes a very interesting spiritual connection between what is above and what is below. And if you ever studied this before, you'll find the word ascend in the Bible and descend, or ascent and descent. Heaven, according to the scripture, is up. Hell, according to the scripture, is down. You find the word above or below, up, down. And you'll find when you study the contrast between what is up and what is down, up is good, down is bad right now. Right now. An interesting change takes place, because I say right now, there's an interesting change that takes place after we are gone, after the rapture of the church, we're taken out. An interesting change takes place, because what comes from the sky is not good. If you look, if you would, in the book of Revelation, chapter 9, and what comes out of the ground is not good. Look at this. Revelation chapter number 9. How many are doing okay? All right. Revelation 9. We'll use the Bibles. We're in church, right? Verse number 2. Revelation 9, 2. Watch. There's verse number 1. It says, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw the star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." Now, here's a star that comes down, an angel comes down, and he's got a key, and he's going to open this pit. Now, watch what it says in verse number 2. And I'm glad I'm not going to be here when this happens. When you read this, watch this. No horror film can depict what this is. There's no Hollywood production can make this more gruesome than it's going to be. And I'm glad I'm not going to be here. Thank the Lord that we'll be out of here. But look at verse number 2. "And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke of locust upon the earth. And unto them were given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power." So these things are looking like locusts. And they're coming out of the earth. And they're coming upon the earth. Verse number 4. "And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green tree, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God on their foreheads." That would be the lost people. That would be the ones that have the mark of the beast, Revelation 13. "And to them it was given that they should not kill them." Now this makes it even more difficult. "But that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man." So we have these locusts that come out of a pit, and they come upon the earth. They can fly, and they sting men, but men can't die. Okay, you're tortured. Can you imagine going outside at night when that happens? Or those things are flying around. You think about taking the trash out now, kids. Okay? Can you imagine being in tribulation period and seeing this kind of stuff? You're not wanting to go outside. Watch this. It goes on. In those days, verse 6, in those days, men shall seek death. I want to die. We're going to say, please kill me. And not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts, this gets weird. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Now, immediately, what we're going to try to do is try to put an Apache helicopter on this chapter 9. I don't think that's what it is. I think it's something weird, wicked that comes out of this pit. All right, watch what it says. They are prepared against battle. They have locusts. They have the shapes of locusts like unto horses. And their heads were as a crown of like gold. And their faces were the face of men. And they had hair as the hair of a woman. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. I've never seen anything like this. I can't even draw this thing. And they had hair, verse number 9. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle. And they had tails like scorpions, and there was stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Now, here's why I don't believe it has anything to do with anything physical. This is a spiritual thing that comes out of the pit, because verse number 11. And they had a king over them. They're organized. They got order, right? Which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. So this army of locust things that come out of this pit have a king, have someone that controls them and orders them. You go here, you go here, you go here. And his name is Apollyon, or in the Greek, Abaddon in the Hebrew, and it simply means a destroyer. He's out to destroy. He's out to kill. He's out to make as much havoc as he possibly can. Now, why am I saying that? Because what's coming to the earth and coming out of the earth after the church is gone is not good. And it's not by coincidence, and I hesitate to go here, but it's not by coincidence that tomorrow, and I've mentioned this about 5-6 years ago as I taught a whole series of lessons on what they're doing in Switzerland with the organization called CERN, C-E-R-N, which if you look on their website, and I had read most of their material, which is all pagan, on their website, and you see even the logo in the, up in the left-hand corner, and you'll see the 666 up in the left-hand corner of CERN's website. And they're firing up what they call the Quadrant, the collider that is going to accelerate particles beyond the speed of light to examine the dark matter. They're trying to find the God particle. They're trying to tap into the other side. Now, you notice really strange on this, ladies and gentlemen, that the sun is going to be blocked out over America tomorrow. At the same time, over in Switzerland, they're firing up this collider, which is, by the way, 300 feet underground, 17 miles around, and they're trying to accelerate these particles beyond the speed of light to try to find out where God is, or the dark matter, or what they call antimatter. Not a conspiracy, not a weird thing. This is right on their website, what they try to do. And to top off all the weirdness of this, the very place that this is located is in the city called, and listen to this, St. Genis Poly. And that word poly comes from the Latin word apoliculum, which is believed to be, in Roman times, where a temple was located in honor of Apollo or Apollyon. Built at the same location. This is not by accident. This is on purpose. I'm telling you, the prince and the power of the air is working as we understand the Lord is returning. We know as God's people, we're leaving this world. And to top it all off, in front of CERN, which, by the way, they give free tours if you'd like to go to Switzerland and look down there and tour the facility. They're not hiding anything. They have in the front of it a statue called Shiva. Shiva. We showed pictures of Sheba. She literally means destruction. She's from one of the parts of the triune false godhead of the Hindus called Shiva, and really is a cosmic deity that they believe will bring destruction before it rebuilds. So, ladies and gentlemen, what CERN's doing over there in Switzerland is not having to do with science. It's all religion. All right? And ladies and gentlemen, it's not by accident that's happening tomorrow. Not by accident that these things are all sort of colliding at the same time that we're living. And so I'm saying today that we're living in the last days. We're seeing sort of peak things that are happening in our time. But the Bible predicts this. The Bible lays all this out. We don't have to be taken by surprise. We don't have to be overtaken by some unknown thing, because the Bible is very clear and predicts what's coming. In fact, it predicts even this distress of nations in Luke chapter 21, because it says, upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves are roaring. What does that mean? That means each nation is going to have distress. Each nation is going to be filled with perplexity. The nations will have extreme pain, anguish, affliction, calamity, and a state of danger. That's what Luke 21 is predicting, that all nations of the world are going to have sort of the same problem. And so when you see that, the verse that follows that verse in verse 26 of Luke 21, it says, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. So can we say this, ladies and gentlemen? What the Bible makes a distinction between what is down and what is up. What is down is bad. What is up is good. But after the rapture of the church, what is down is bad. And what is up also, according to the judgment of God that's coming, is bad. Things will come to this earth. Things will come from the sky. And men's hearts will fail them for fear. So why am I saying all this? Because what do we do? And our text takes us to that. When we are looking at all of the events, we are told just to look up. It's going to be a weird thing tomorrow around 3:30 in the afternoon. I'm not going to be out looking around, but I can imagine all the people out of their cars with their sunglasses, wherever their glasses are, all looking up. Strange. And God's people, and Ray and I were talking about this just a little bit, all to be looking up every day. Look in Psalm 123 again. Watch what a phrase here says, unto thee lift up mine eyes. So what do? Well, there's an instruction here, at least in the testimony of the psalmist, that he's looking up. It says here, unto thee, according to Psalm 123, lift up, I like that word, up mine eyes. Now, we are told over in the book of Hebrews to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we're not here to look at circumstances. We're not here to examine all kinds of conspiracies. We can do that, and we can do that and continue to discuss it. But God's people need to be constantly looking up. I believe we should be looking up for the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we take the news of the day which we live, and we look at the news, look at the conditions of the world around us, and the present circumstances that we see, that sort of tend to unsettle us, tend to unsettle even the strongest of believers, and we can become sort of fearful and anxious and retreative, if you would. But there's a certain time that we live. We've been chosen to live in this time, and it can promote anxiety. It can promote fear. But adding to all the troubles in the lives around the world, there's things that happen to us. Difficulties that come to us, failures and health issues and job losses and troubled spirits and concern for others and concern for our children. And these things are real problems and possibilities that each one of us face. We're never guaranteed that we'll not go well in one day. And so for believers, ladies and gentlemen, there is an instruction that we are to look up. Look up. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Keep looking up. For the believer, we're to always look up. In the last days, we're to look up. Look up when things are getting bad. As a nation goes to war with another nation, look up. When your nation begins to follow the path of more immorality and decadence, keep looking up. When your finances crash, look up. When your family begins to suffer, continue looking up. When you are struggling to find answers for a very difficult situation in your life, look up. When you're lonely and rejected, look up. When you're faced with bad decisions, look up. When your health fails, look up. Look up in the good times. Look up in the bad times. In fact, God invites us to look to Him. Unto me, look unto me, He says, and be saved, all the ends of the earth. So we find here a very interesting instruction given in Psalm chapter 123. Very clearly, unto thee lift up mine eyes. Doesn't matter what the circumstances you're going through, you can look up. We're not looking up at some weird thing, we're looking up at God. So number one, there's the instruction to look up. Number two, looking up, listen to this, looking up for instruction. There's an instruction to look up, but we're looking up for instruction. Watch what it says here in verse number two. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their, what? Masters. And as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God. And so when you look at this, the servants, they would look to their masters. They would observe the masters. The masters would protect them. The masters would give them direction. The masters would give them deliverance. And so a servant to the master or a maid to a maiden had the idea that they're going to take care of me. I'm here to take care of them and serve them, but they're here to protect me. They're here to provide mercy. They're here to provide grace for me. And ladies and gentlemen, the psalmist in this second or third psalm of ascension is saying we need to be looking up. And beyond that, we need to look up because there's instructions when you look up. You just are going to know what to do. In fact, His grace is extended to all those that keep their eyes on Him. Look, if you would, hold your finger there. Look, if you would, in the book of 2 Chronicles. Let me show you how this principle is put into practice and try to give you some application on this one very important part of your Christian life. Look what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. King Jehoshaphat had a really, really big problem. How many have ever had big problems in your life? Would you raise your hand? All right. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand now, but some could raise your hand right now saying, I've got some big problems. I know some of you do. Big problems come to all of us. King Jehoshaphat here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 got big, big problems, national problems, issues that are going to pose national security for him and his nation. He's the king. Look what it says in verse number 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. So we got three nations that are coming against one. They're getting ganged up on. And there came also some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazatamar, which is in Gedi. Of course, I've been there. You see, it's a massive amount of land. There's a massive amount of people here. And they're coming up. And verse 3 says, and Jehoshaphat feared and ran for his bunker. Is that what it says? Jehoshaphat feared and he went to his food. No. And Jehoshaphat feared, listen to this, and set himself to seek the Lord. Now, wait, ladies and gentlemen, how does this play out? How do I look up? Okay. I have an instruction to look up. Look up. I'm getting instruction to look up in good times, bad times, and difficult times. Look up. Why? Because there is instruction when I look up. I'm going to get something that I need when I look up. Here's what he's doing here. He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. I love leaders that are fearing God. They're leaning into fearing God. They're leaning into directing the nation to fear God. And that's what he's doing here. Watch what he says in verse 4. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the who? Of the Lord. We need help. Even out of all the cities of Judah that came, they to seek the Lord. Watch this. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine if America, I'm talking about believers across America, begin to seek God like they used to? Seek God for rain. Seek God for peace. Seek God for direction. Seek God for power. Can you imagine if churches across this nation were to get back to a genuine seeking of God, what we would see in this world, in this nation? Here they're doing, they're coming together, they're seeking God. They're in a bad way. They'll be destroyed. They know it. Three against one, a whole multitude coming from the south, they're invariably going to be destroyed. What do? They seek God. Verse number 6. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord, listen to this. O Lord, look at the question marks he's giving here in his prayer. O Lord, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And it's assumed he knows, yes, you are. That rulest not over the kingdoms of the earth, heathen? Oh, yes, you are. And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? No, there's no one that can hold a candle to you, Lord. In his prayer and his questions, he says, Lord, I know you're powerful. I know what you can do. I know that nothing can stand in your way. Wow, what faith. Wow, what power. Watch this. Jehoshaphat, the nation of Judah, are looking up. They're instructed to look up. And now they're going to get instruction by looking up. Say, Pastor, I've never done that. How many have ever asked or done something without praying about it? And then find out, I should have prayed. Amen. All right? Even mentioning, God, I'm about to do this. I need prayer. I need direction. Lord, if it's not your will, shut it down. Stop it. Move it away. And how many times have we gone into a decision without even looking up? Asking God, help me. I need help. I need to know what you want me to do. It might be as simple as a small little purchase to a massive life decision that needs to be made. Look up for instruction. And it says here in verse number 12, same text, watch what it says. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Look at this phrase here. Neither know we what to do. How many, and be honest, have ever been there? I don't know what to do. My hands up. Some people call me and say, Pastor, here's the situation. Here's what's happening. What do I do? And there's many times that we have to say, honestly, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I can't give you an answer. I don't have the answer in front of me. I don't know what to do. And this is exactly what Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah is going through. They don't know. What do? We don't know what to do. And if you're honest today, there's situations that come in. You don't have a lot of options. In fact, every option is bad. Every decision seems to be a bad decision. It might be about your children. You're praying for. You're looking up. What do? I don't know what to do. You look up. It might be about your marriage. Marriage is struggling. He's doing this or she is doing this. And I fear something's happening that I don't want to happen. Look up. Because you don't know what to do. I call it this way. I call it being jammed. There's no good options. What do? You look up. Neither know we what to do. It is bad. We don't know where to go. We don't know where to turn. We don't know how this is going to turn out. When you look at the rest of the verse here, watch what it says. But our eyes are what? Upon thee. Verse 12. No, I don't know where to go. No, I don't know what to do. No, this is difficult. But I'm not going to stop looking up. I'm looking to you, Lord. Our eyes are upon thee. Jehoshaphat immediately was given an answer. I like the end of the story. I'm not going to give you all of that. But it doesn't always turn out that way. Sometimes we look up. Sometimes we don't know what to do. We look up. We ask God help. Guide us. There's a situation. I don't know what to do. It's a family situation. It's a marriage situation. It's a financial situation. It's a difficult situation that I have to make a decision on. Pastors are faced with this every day. Business owners. Every one of us have issues that we have to deal with. And we don't know what to do. And sometimes, praise God, things happen immediately after you ask. And sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it goes on and on. and on. Because God does not answer things according to necessarily our timing. Now, why do I need to look up? Well, we have instruction to look up, but we also get instruction by looking up. Why? Because He, God, knows what you need before you need it. Right? We sing that song, He Holds Tomorrow, right? He knows what tomorrow is. He knows what you don't need when you think you need it. How about that one? I need this. God says, no, you don't. But if I have this, I'll be a whole lot better. No, you would not. It's a new car smell, right? You get in the car and say, well, I need this. Every time I go to a gun store, I look at more guns. And again, I need that, right? No, I don't necessarily need it. Don't tell my wife that. But we don't necessarily need it. But we think we do. God knows what we need. And He knows what we don't need, right? He knows and has the resources to provide anything we need. He knows what direction we need to take. He knows what decision that we need to make. I want to speak to the singles here for a second. Ladies and gentlemen that are single, God knows who is best for you as a mate. He knows. He knows who she is. He knows who he is. And he will lead you and give you that peace and give you that direction to that very person. And I asked many times, have you prayed about this relationship? Have you prayed about this person? Have you bathed it in prayer? Have you at least mentioned his God, the name to God? Looking up. Because looking up is instructed, and also there's instruction when we look up. Because God loves you. You're saved today. He loves you. He wants the best for you. And trust him. So, crazy times, and I think it begs at least the idea that because of that, we need to follow the instructions to look up. We also understand that looking up provides instructions. But let me give you last point, number three, is that when you look up, don't look down. I grew up as a contractor's son, so we built condominiums down in Jersey Shore. That's what my dad did. We were the block crew. We came in and laid the block. And we would put four-story condominiums up and set scaffold. My dad always got scaffold from junkyards and auctions and never. It looked like a Dr. Seuss scaffold system. Well, I didn't know anything different. We just said, well, that fits, and we bang it in, and it kind of went up this way and 3-4 stories high. And as a teenager, that's all I knew. I mean, up and down the scaffold, taking the mud, taking the concrete or the block up there and stacking block on one board, jumping up on that board, stacking block on another board. And occasionally a board would break and the block would come down. Usually it wouldn't be with us on it, but it did happen. We never wore hats or anything like that. OSHA would have killed us. So I get in boot camp, right? I'm there, and they had this obstacle course. And the obstacle course was a set of 2 telephone poles that went 40 feet in the air. And every 3 feet, they had a 2x6 or a 2x8 that they had screwed into this telephone pole that went 40 feet in the air straight up. And I watched all the guys really trembling as they had to go all the way up, traverse all the way up, and cross the top of it, come down. I was the first one up the top. I sat out there, did some sit-ups out there, and I had no fear of heights. I grew up doing this all my life. And I look down and no one's up with me. And I'm like, hey, come on up, guys. And about halfway up, they start looking down. And it really paralyzed them. And I would have to go back down and help them up. And I just knew that maybe God had me go through all that to help someone else and help them up and over, up and over, up. And I stayed up there pretty much the entire, because I had no fear of heights. And I am changing that right now, I'll be honest. Get more brains when you get older. But can I just give you this last point here? When you look up, don't look down. There's something about when you're heavenly minded, when you're looking up, keeping your eyes on the Lord. Just as Peter, when he was looking to Christ, began to look at the waves, looking down, he began to sink. Because you'll find this word in this next. And the end of verse here says until, this word until that he have mercy upon us, verse 2. I'm not stopping. I want to continue looking up until. Many times what we do, it carries the idea that I'm just going to keep on this. I'm not stopping. I'm not changing course. I'm keeping my eyes on the Lord until. Sometimes I mentioned, sometimes answers come immediate. I love it when we get an answer to prayer. I love it when God gives a clear direction on any situation that comes up. But sometimes He doesn't. Sometimes you have to wait. Sometimes you have to go through a year or 2 years or one decade or two decades. The answers don't immediately come. But what we have the idea that we're just going to continue looking up. We're not looking down. We're not looking back. We're not turning aside. We're not going back. Because we understand that He's still God. And here's what we typically do. I'm going to probably do a more study on this. We typically at this point begin to make deals with God. The deal makers. Okay, God. If you do this, then I'll do this. And you'll find that in the Bible. You'll find people that make deals with God. And then you'll find people that make no deals with God. Whatever God does is still good. Whether He delivers us or not, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not going to bow. There's no deal here. God's going to take care of us. If He doesn't, I'm fine with that too. Ladies and gentlemen, can I just mention this here? Don't be the guy or the woman that says, if God does this, I'll do this. And making God deals and all that. Just keep looking up. Don't change direction. Don't try to negotiate with God. God is always good. God is going to be good. God is going to take care of you. Just look up. Keep looking up until He have mercy on us. I think Galatians chapter 6 is really clear here. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Well, I can. I can easily go down that road. Well, and nothing's like it was. It's horrible. The church is in a mess. People aren't like they used to be. Families are going to pot. Marriages are falling apart. The whole world is going to hell in a handbasket. And all these things, I'm being a little kingish right here, but I'm saying, we can easily get to where we're just weary and tired. Tired of fighting, tired of counseling, tired of saying the truth to people. But He says, let us not be weary in well doing. But the next part of the verse is, to me, a great promise. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Many of you have difficulties in families and kids and grandchildren that you're praying for their salvation. You're praying for their marriages. Be not weary in well doing. You have instruction to look up. You have instruction to keep your eyes on the Lord. But when you do that, you have instruction when you look up. And when you look up, ladies and gentlemen, don't look down. Don't look back. Don't turn. Because the word until carries the idea, I'm keeping on. So don't quit. Don't turn back. Don't fall back. Don't look down. Because if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection, verse number 2, on the things above, not on things on the earth. Keep looking up. Instruction to look up. Instruction from looking up. And when you look up, don't look down. Let me twist all this around for you. If you would, meet me in the book of Revelation, chapter 6. I want to remind you the resources that you have. We're almost done. Bob Evans is still open. They may not have any food, but they're open. Revelation 6. I want you to note here something very interesting that happens inside the tribulation period. The church is not mentioned from chapter 4 to chapter 22. The hereafter, things that are going to happen are in the future from the taking away of the church. So now we're in the tribulation period here in this text, verse number 6, or chapter 6, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. Listen to this. And lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black, as it will happen tomorrow, as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island are moved out of their places. Now look in verse 15. This is what's coming from up. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, Mark Zuckerberg, and put that right there, George Soros, Bill Gates, right? As, by the way, have spent millions and billions of dollars building bunkers. Well, what are they going to do when they get down there? Well, it says here, and the chief captains, that would be the military leaders, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man went to their bunkers, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Now, they're not going down there to have a prayer meeting. They're not going down there to have church. They're not going down there to have their espresso coffee. They're not going down there to watch reruns of Gilligan's Island. They're going down to those bunkers for one purpose. And listen to this. Again, here's an unfortunate response to those that will look up and see what's coming. And what they're going to do, they're going to go down. In verse 16, and said to the mountains and rocks. They're used to praying to them anyway, so they talk to the mountains and rocks. Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now look at the testimony, what there he's seeing. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? It's interesting, isn't it? That we as God's people, we see the things that are coming into the earth, and we're looking up for his mercy. We're looking up for his grace. We're looking up until we're not looking down. We're looking aside. We're told and instructed to look up. We get instruction when we look up to know what to do. And then we should continue looking up and not look back down. Don't turn back. Don't turn around. And this time, they're going to look up. They're going to go down. And they're not going to pray to God. They're going to see the king is coming. But they're going to pray to the rocks to kill him. Wow. So I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved today, you have a great future. Great future. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, if I died today, or if something happens, watch this. If something happens after tomorrow and everything in this world changes, I don't know if I'm saved. And I want to get saved. And again, that's a look up. If I be risen, amen. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Can I just lift up Christ to you right now? Jesus is the only way. He's the only way to heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you're saved today, you are rejoiced. If you're here this morning questioning, well, I'm religious. I've been baptized. I'm a good person. I'm moral. My wife's been begging me about getting to church. I don't know. I don't know what I am. Can I say to you, look up to Christ. Come to him for salvation. I can, and others can share with you how to be saved. Because time is running. I can't say this enough. Time is running out. We know it is high time that we awake out of sleep. So ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, rejoice. If you're lost, get saved. Look up to salvation. Get saved. With heads bowed and eyes closed, God can ask you to be completely honest with yourself and let the Holy Spirit illuminate that heart of ours. Maybe you haven't followed the instruction to look up like you should. You're faced with a very difficult situation. Every decision is bad. Every way you turn, you're hemmed in. You're jammed. And if the pastor came or the Holy Spirit came and asked you, have you prayed about it? Have you looked up? You say, yes, I have. But maybe you can't. Say, Pastor, God has convicted my heart. I haven't prayed about the situation that I'm in. And I need to. I need to make it a matter of prayer. And I'm not doing deals with God. God is still good. I'm going to look to him. Would you slip your hand up and down? There's our hands this morning. Thank you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand back there, ma'am. I see that hand. God bless you. Maybe you're in a situation today and you're looking up and you're needing instruction. Lord, I just need help. Tell me what to do. And that's you this morning. Would you slip your hand up and down? God bless you. I see hands all over. I don't know what to do, but Lord, you can give me the instruction. Thank you. Singles, young couples, God bless you. And if you're here this morning, say, Pastor, I feel like I'm looked up for so long, I started looking down, and I feel like I'm going back. I just need to keep my eyes on the Lord. That is me this morning. Would you slip your hand up and down? How many have ever been just kind of distracted? Thank you. My hand is up on that one. I'm telling you, I get my eyes on the wrong things all the time. God bless you. And if you're here this morning, say, Pastor, I want to look to Christ today. I want to look up to the cross. I need saved. If you're here, say, Pastor, if I died, I don't know if I go to heaven. And I want to, before I leave this building today, I want to know that I'm saved. Would you slip your hand up and down? Is there anyone here this morning? Anyone here this morning? Just slip your hand up. I'm looking around. I'm not sure I'm saved today. And one more question today, if you're here. Say, Pastor, there's someone I need to pray for today. All the events, I've tried to talk to them. I've emailed them. I've had conversations with them. But it's like talking to a piece of wood. Would you ask the Holy Spirit of God to illuminate their heart? That you would just ask them to, ask God to show himself real to them? The altar will be open for those parents or grandparents or children that are praying for parents to come down and say, I need to pray for them today. Things are happening so quick in our world, we can't keep up. Would you make that a matter of prayer today? So that is me this morning. Would you slip your hand up and down? Hands all over. God bless you. Thank you. Father, we love you and thank you for the liberty to teach and preach today your word. And I pray your people would receive it with meekness. I pray, God, you would help us all today as we look into the future events, Lord, of what the Bible says, that we not get distracted, we not look back, turn down, turn back, turn away, that we keep our eyes on our Savior. Help us to follow the instructions to look up. Help us to get instructions when we look up, and help us not to look down when we look up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all quietly stand to our feet. I ask no one to look around this morning, but God, this morning,